The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And we're almost at the end of 2022, as you might have noticed. And I thought it might be a fitting time to look at the topic of forgiveness. I'll talk a little bit about it, and then if there's enough time, I think there will be, we could do a short forgiveness practice as well and bring it into practice right away. And in that practice, we will look back at the previous year, and maybe there are certain situations or people or ourselves that we'd like to forgive, and then we can start a new year afresh. So let's dive into this topic of forgiveness. And I'd like to start with a quote that is not sure who it was, who it is attributed to. It's either Jack Kornfield or Joseph Goldstein, probably. And the quote goes, "Forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past." So forgiveness, I think, is not one of the standard teachings of the Buddhas, like loving kindness is or compassion, but it's woven into the teachings of the Buddha in different ways. For example, in the Anguttara Nikaya, the Buddha says, "These two are fools. Which two? The one who doesn't see his or her transgression as a transgression, and the one who doesn't rightfully pardon another who has confessed his or her transgression. These two are fools. These two are wise. Which two? The one who sees his or her transgression as a transgression, and the one who rightfully pardons another who has confessed his or her transgression. These two are wise." End quote. But this we can see as a way of maybe forgiving another if they rightfully pardon, if someone has rightfully confessed their transgression, we can pardon them. So forgiveness is often linked to the concept of metta or loving kindness, a deep feeling of goodwill towards oneself and others. And Don gave a whole talk about metta last week, if you're interested in that. And in the Pali Canon, there are teachings on the cultivation of metta as a means of, also, we can see it as a way of cultivating forgiveness, as a way of reducing this animosity towards others. We could take, for example, the Metta Sutta, where the Buddha teaches that one should cultivate metta by wishing well-being and happiness for all beings, including those who may have caused harm or suffering. And the sutta also advises that one should try to see the goodness in others and let go of any anger or resentment. And one phrase or paragraph from the sutta is, "Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings." End quote. Yeah, being like a mother who protects her child and cherishing all living beings, which includes all those who might have harmed us or those whom we see that are harming other people or other beings, and includes cherishing ourselves, even though we might have done harm unto others ourselves or harm unto ourselves. There's this other teaching in the Pali Canon where we can see the theme of forgiveness come up, which is the story of Angulimala, which is in the Majjhima Nikaya. And there's also a commentary on that sutta, which tells the story of the murderer named Angulimala, who was transformed by the teachings of the Buddha. And he was not originally called Angulimala, but he was called Ahimsa, which means non-harming. And Ahimsa at some point encountered a teacher and he gained a lot of faith in this teacher. And this teacher told him he should murder 1,000 people. So out of this faith for this teacher, Ahimsa started to actually murder all these people. And he became infamous because he was wearing this necklace made of the fingers of his victims, an Angulimala. Mala, you might recognize the word mala. And Anguli is his finger, so finger garland. So that's how he got his name, because he was wearing all those fingers around his neck. And one day he had murdered 999 people, and he was about to kill the 1,000th person, like his teacher instructed him to do, almost at his the number that he was going to for. And he encountered a Buddha, and he thought, this mendicant, I'm going to kill this mendicant. So the Buddha saw this with his third eye, like, oh, this guy wants to kill me. And so with his special powers, the Buddha started walking away from Angulimala, and Angulimala came running after the Buddha. But the Buddha made it so that the Angulimala would never be able to catch him through these special powers. So Angulimala got exhausted and cried out, oh, stop, please stop. And then the Buddha answered, I already stopped. No, you should stop. And Angulimala was a bit perplexed, like, what does that mean? So the Buddha explained to him that it means that he had stopped, the Buddha himself had stopped harming others, and that Angulimala should stop too. And that's something that clicked for Angulimala. And the Buddha could see that actually Angulimala had this ahimsa, this non-harming nature of mind and heart, deep below this fate for his teacher that caused him to kill all these people. So he saw the potential for transformation. So he agreed to take him on as a disciple and began teaching him the Dhamma. And at some point, so through this exchange with the Buddha, Angulimala was able to stop his murdering. And through the Buddha showing compassion and acceptance for Angulimala, and so forgiving him for all that he had done, Angulimala could transform and was able to become a respected member of the monastic community and even become an arahat, a fully enlightened one. And it's a beautiful story, I think, of how this forgiveness of such a horrible deeds is possible. That the Buddha was able to forgive Angulimala for what he had done and would take him on into his Sangha. So even if we have done horrible things, then forgiveness might be possible for ourselves. And if others have done horrible things, and maybe this story can inspire us to not hold on to the grudges, not hold on to the pain, but to see that maybe these people also have potential for transformation, a potential to maybe at some point start living a more ethical life. So forgiveness is often linked to all of the four Brahma Viharas, divine abodes, not only metta, like I mentioned earlier, the loving kindness. All four are actually basically a foundation for forgiveness. So the four Brahma Viharas are metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, appreciative joy, and upekka, equanimity. And so metta is the cultivation of these feelings of goodwill towards oneself and others. And I think it can be a real key element in the cultivation of forgiveness, because it helps to open an attitude towards ourselves and others. We start off with this loving, kind attitude. And we might be less likely to hold on to these negative emotions, such as anger or resentment. And it might make us more able to let go of these emotions, and in that way, more likely to be able to forgive. Compassion, which is the feeling of care and concern for the suffering of others, which is closely related to metta, because it's kind of like metta, but then arising in situations where they're suffering. So when we cultivate compassion, we start to see the suffering of others. We start to understand it better and empathize with it, which makes it also easier to forgive any harm that someone might have caused. And we start to better understand that those people that caused the harm also go through a lot of suffering. And then mudita, the appreciative joy, is the feeling of joy and delight in the well-being and happiness of others. And when we cultivate that, we are able to appreciate and celebrate the positive qualities of others rather than focusing on their negative actions or faults, which can also help us to let go of our focus on those negative aspects, our focus on the resentment or anger, which might help to cultivate a more forgiving attitude. And then the last Brahma Vihara is Upekkha, or equanimity, which is a state of mind that is free from the sways of the craving and greed on the one hand, and aversion and anger and hate on the other hand. So Upekkha, equanimity, can help us to maintain this balanced and even-minded perspective, also if the situation is challenging or difficult. And the teaching on Upekkha is also closely related to the teaching on that actions have consequences, which is very short explanation of the teaching of karma, kamma in Pali. And it's about taking responsibility for our actions, as well as understanding on a deeper level that those who act unskillfully or harm others may be suffering inside. They may have had difficult experiences earlier in life that led them to behave the way they do right now. So when we remember that we don't always know why someone is acting unskillfully or how much they're suffering inside, it can help us to soften our hearts, which can also support forgiveness. So it's really helpful to cultivate these four Brahma Viharas because they can be so supportive in the cultivation of a more forgiving attitude towards ourselves, but also others. And there's also the direct kind of practice of forgiveness. So we can cultivate the four Brahma Viharas as a support, and we can directly cultivate forgiveness. But the Brahma Viharas can come in, for example, when it is especially hard to forgive someone or even ourselves. Then we can start with cultivating one of the Brahma Viharas. We can pick one that we feel most resonant with. We don't have to practice all four of them at the same time. It's probably more doable to pick one. And then practice with that person for a while. Really simmer in the Brahma Viharas first before we start practicing with forgiveness. And then at some point we might feel ready to practice with forgiveness directly. So if you're not super familiar with practicing with the Brahma Viharas, then every weekday there is this event called Happy Hour at IMC, where often those four Brahma Viharas are the focus point. And there's also a ton of recordings available on Audio Dharma of Happy Hour. So let's now look at cultivating forgiveness directly. And I first like to give you this definition of forgiveness that the teacher Winnie Nazarko has provided. And I had this definition in Dutch, but I can't find the English version anymore. So I once translated it into English, and now I can't find the English version anymore. So I translated it back into English. So the wording is probably slightly off from the original. But it goes something like that, like this. Forgiveness is the process, emphasizing process, of developing a skillful and free relationship with hurtful and harmful actions from the past, done by ourselves or others. It requires that we choose to have the intention to forgive. So there's choice and intention. so that we end the relationship of suffering to the story, to the people involved, and to what arises in the present moment in connection with it. It is a way to release being hurt and release entanglement with suffering. End quote. So what Winnie is saying is that forgiveness is, first of all, a choice. And it is a choice to intend to let go of harmful things from the past. So it's not a choice for, oh, I'm just going to forgive right now. It's more a choice of intention. We can choose to intend to forgive. And it's a process, like Winnie's saying. It's something that we can develop. And in starting that process of forgiveness, this intention is very important because that will set things in motion. Even if we cannot always forgive immediately, which might be, you know, often the case that forgiveness is not like this immediate thing, but this intention can lead us down the path towards, in the end, forgiveness, being able to forgive. Because if we don't even have the intention to forgive, then this process will not be set in motion. So we might recognize that holding a grudge or resentment actually feels unpleasant and unwholesome, although we might feel like we cannot forgive yet. And then this intention comes into place, because then the intention to forgive is going to help set in motion the process. So in addition to this intention, we also need wisdom to forgive. And wisdom can show us that it is useful and beneficial to take steps towards forgiveness, kind of knowing that not that holding on to this suffering of resentment and grudges is painful. That's a form of wisdom. So forgiveness allows us to plant new seeds for the future. Since when we forgive, we let go of these unwholesome states of mind. In Buddhism, it is understood that not forgiving is actually a form of suffering. And by forgiving, we are actually letting go of suffering. And there's this quote that is often attributed to the Buddha, but it's actually comes from this monk Buddha Ghosa, who lived in the 5th century. And Buddha Ghosa was discussing anger. And in his discussion on anger, he said this: by holding on to anger, you are like a man who wants to hit another and picks up a burning ember or excrement in his hand, and so first burns himself or makes himself stink. So especially the part with the burning ember is often attributed to the Buddha. The excrement, you don't hear that often, but that's also a telling simile. So if we forgive, then we stop to burn ourselves with this burning ember, or we stop being smelly through the excrement. So it's something that we can do for ourselves and not so much for the other person. Forgiveness is about finding peace and happiness and freedom in our own hearts. And that is easier said than done, of course. It's like Winnie Nazarko pointed out, it is a process. And it can sometimes take years or even the rest of our lifetimes, especially if it's something that was really harmful or hurtful for ourselves. So it may take a lot of patience and determination and endurance to walk this path of forgiveness. And forgiveness is not that we turn a blind eye to something that has been done to us. If we forgive another or ourselves, then we do not approve of the behavior. That's an important distinction. Because if it were necessary to approve of the other persons of our own behavior, then yeah, the practice of forgiveness would become really difficult. Because some things that happen are so extremely hurtful, that it cannot be approved of. But it doesn't mean we can't forgive it. Forgiveness also doesn't mean that we are weak or that we don't stand up for ourselves or that we let someone go get away with things or that there should be no justice. You can forgive and still stand up for justice. There's no need to, you know, exclude that. And sometimes what also can come up around the practice of forgiveness is that we think that the other person is not worth our forgiveness and that we're not going to give it to him. So it seems sometimes a better idea to withhold our forgiveness from this other person, like that will teach him something like that, some attitude like that. And we may even want to humiliate or hurt the other person. Well, in reality, it's like a delusion that we can exercise power over another in this way. The fact that we don't want to forgive the other person or even want to hurt them is painful for ourselves. And it doesn't necessarily have to be painful for the other person. It's like holding on to this burning ember or the excrement in the quote that I gave. So forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. And we don't have to forget what has happened. And we don't have to accept what has happened. There's this meditation teacher, Philip Moffat, who says, by forgiving the person who did something harmful, you disconnect the terrible act from the fallible human behind the act. So we're disconnecting the act from the fallible human behind the act. So through the development of this process of forgiveness, we can slowly begin to pull out these arrows of guilt or accusation, blame, resentment out of our heart. We can slowly begin to pull those arrows out of our heart one by one. And then these wounds that we have can begin to heal. So we do it, this practice of forgiveness, mostly maybe for ourselves. But through the practice of forgiveness, we are also contributing to a more loving world. So the more we purify our hearts from this pain and suffering, the more loving and kind we can be towards others, including maybe even towards the person that we're forgiving. And that will affect our environment. And then there are these situations where forgiveness is not yet an option. When there's these situations where something has happened that has been deeply, deeply wounding, then it might not be the right time to start working with forgiveness just yet. We need enough stability of heart and mind around this subject to begin the forgiveness practice. So sometimes it can be premature, and it's important to name. Sometimes we are just not ready. And in those cases, we might consider to start the forgiveness process at some point in the distant future. And that can be the first step, just this consideration of maybe starting it in the distant future, this process. So we could do a short forgiveness practice together. And there's this Buddhist practice of forgiveness, and that consists of three phrases. We can forgive when we're forgiving others, ourselves, and we ask for the forgiveness of others through a wish or intention phrase. So we'll practice all three phrases. And it's interesting because these phrases, no one really sure where they're from. But they sound really like metta and compassion kind of phrases. So, they sound pretty Buddhist to me. and we'll start with a phrase of metta because it's such a useful foundation for forgiveness to soften our hearts. So I always recommend that if you do forgiveness practice to start with a little bit of metta. But we have not that much time, so we'll just do one phrase or so. So we can just tune into our body again. feeling the body sitting. Feeling the breath go in and out. And we can connect to our heart area. Area in the center of the chest. Just kind of checking in what it's like right now in the heart area. Doesn't have to be a certain way. And then we can bring to mind a being that brings a smile to our face. Could be a kitten or a puppy, a child, a dear friend, squirrel. Now we can send this being a metaphrase. May you be happy. We can repeat the phrase silently for ourselves. May you be happy. And then we'll let this being fade to the background. Start the forgiveness practice. And you can focus on the past year since we're at the end of the year and see what comes up from the past year. But it's also okay if things come up from earlier on. And the first phrase is, may all beings whom I've caused suffering in this past year, whom I've harmed or insulted out of ignorance, forgive me. May all beings whom I've caused suffering, whom I've harmed or insulted out of ignorance, forgive me. Of course, we can't control what's actually happening. It's a wish, an intention that we express. Second phrase is, may I forgive all beings who out of ignorance have caused suffering to me, who have harmed or insulted me. May I forgive all those beings. And also this is an intention, a wish. We might not be able to forgive all beings who have harmed us over the past year. We might have the intention to forgive them. May I forgive all beings who out of ignorance have caused suffering to me. The last phrase. May I forgive myself for all unwholesome deeds that I have performed out of ignorance that caused suffering to me or to other beings over this past year. May I forgive myself for all unwholesome deeds that I've performed out of ignorance, caused suffering to me or other beings. can let the forgiveness practice fade to the background. Take a moment to appreciate yourself practicing forgiveness. It's not always easy. And you did start the intention, start the wish to forgive. And you can maybe feel a little bit of gratefulness or thankfulness for yourself, appreciation, gratitude for your own practice, and your sincere wish to alleviate suffering. Some time for questions, sharing, discussion, reflections. And feel free to unmute yourself and share something if you feel like it. Yeah, John.
I've been working with forgiveness with a certain person. And, you know, one thing that gets in my way is that I feel like there's some things that happened that the person doesn't feel remorse for. They don't get it. And I don't feel like they want to really get it. They don't have the energy for that. And, you know, it's hard for me to get over that.
Yeah, those are the harder situations where people might not even see that they're harming others. And the truth is, though, that if we don't forgive, if we stay resentful or feel anger or frustration or what kind of emotion and whatever it is, that's in us, right? It's like with the burning ember, we are still holding that ember. And the really hard thing is to let go of that ember so that we're not burning ourselves anymore. So, but the invitation is to try and let go of it, even though it's not easy. And we don't have to, like that other person or condone what they're doing or, you know, but it's about freeing ourselves from these inner states that are unwholesome. If we look at it in that light, then it doesn't really matter too much what the other person is doing. We could still, not accept it and, we don't have to like encourage them or say that it's a good thing what they're doing. But we can try to let go of our own part and then, but still stand up for ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
And it's not an easy process.
I guess I see and experience some differentiation with people that are in my life on a fairly regular basis, who do things that cause me pain to some degree, could be small or bigger, and mostly out of, I think, just unskillfulness. And between them and some people that I don't have to deal with anymore, and for them, I don't even know if I forgive them so much as I don't know if it's necessary. I don't hold on to it, but I don't. But the people that I see regularly, there's only a few, but that's much more challenging. And I can kind of forgive them for one incident or another. But then when it happens again, there's still that that kind of little bit of pain, or perhaps a lot of pain. And that's more difficult in that moment. Yeah. So it's almost like I need to carry this spirit of forgiveness for maybe that. I'm going to call it unskillful. Maybe they don't have tools to behave more skillfully when they're in pain. I don't think it's really malicious, but yeah. I don't know if it would serve me to think that it is.
Mm-hmm. Reflecting like that can be helpful to see that they're in pain, or that they have certain conditioning coming up for them that makes that they act the way they are acting. And just knowing, they might not be able to help themselves, right? It's just they don't have the tools, they don't have kind of like most of us might have this inner kind of wish to live a skillful life. But some people miss that. They don't have that feeling of wanting to live a skillful life, or due to all sorts of causes and conditions that can be present in someone's life. Mm-hmm. So reflecting on that can be really helpful in forgiving and also in feeling compassion for someone in their suffering, because they're also suffering probably. So yeah. And then, like I said, also, like, it can be really helpful to cultivate the Brahma Viharas for these people as a foundation for forgiveness, because just forgiving like that, like these phrases that we just practiced, if there's a lot of charge around certain people or certain actions that people have done, then it can be really hard to forgive right away. Like, oh, may I forgive this person? Yeah, it doesn't really work. So we need to, cultivate, how do you say that? Like when we're wanting to plant seeds for a garden, we need to like prepare the earth first, right? They need to make sure that there's nutrients in the earth and that there's water and that it's going to be on the right spot with enough sunlight and not too much sunlight, so there's all these things we can do to prepare. Same for the forgiveness practice.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes for myself, I think that's just for maybe the conditioning I have that makes certain areas within me so susceptible to feeling hurt.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to be aware of too. Our own conditioning getting kind of in the way of forgiving, knowing where our strengths and weaknesses lie.
A good topic. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else that comes up for people?
What made you connect New Year's, the end of the year, with forgiveness?
Like starting a new year, afresh, forgiving what has happened over the past year might help to start afresh the new year. kind of at the end of the year, we look back at the previous year, what has happened, what can we learn from it, where do we need to forgive or send some more love and care to which people, which areas in our lives.
This has been really helpful. The things that Peggy just talked about and that you responded to her with. And I'm dealing with the thing with my partner about our house is full of crap. And we have a very, very tiny place. And I have this, I keep going around in circles with his he just kind of won't deal with it. And I'm at a place where I don't want to live this way anymore. I feel like I can't. I feel like, you know, like I'm looking at things like if something happened and one of us needed to be cared for or whatever, there's just like, there's no space. And so I'm looking at that as we're getting older and we're spending more time in the house. And I mean, it is his conditioning that is making it so scary for him to try to look at this. And I get mad at him. I'm like, just bloody look at it, you know, like just deal with it. And then I feel resentment and blah, 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 you know, and what you were just saying, it's like, okay, and so I know I want to feel like compassion for him, and if I see this as this is where he's at, and whatever the conditioning, whatever the reasons, both to feel compassion and to see that that's where he is, but also to say, and this is where I am, and to try to, like, I don't want to. I mean, I feel like what I've been doing is just saying, you know, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it, you know. And then the other place to go is like kind of an ultimatum. And that feels really awful because I don't want to do that. But I think the place of just this just isn't okay for me. This just doesn't work for me. And I want to find a way for it, us to be good in the future, and I don't see it happening with this being as it is, but not trying to take away the charge, trying to take away the anger and resentment. And it just feels like some working around this forgiveness aspect of it could be helpful. Both, you know, forgiving me for the feelings of wanting to push him and forgiving him for being where he is, you know, and
it sounds like
it's very in there, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the intention is there, right? But there's still a lot of charge around it. So maybe you can see if you can do some inner work first for yourself with the Brahma Viharas, cultivating one of those that you feel that might work best for you in this moment, and then do some forgiveness practice around it before you start with the talk, talking to him about it. Yeah. So that there, because if we're less angry and less resentful and we talk to other people, if we're coming more from a place of compassion and forgiveness, it has an effect on the other person.
Right.
So if you can get yourself to a place where you feel a bit more compassionate, a bit more forgiving, It might open up things. It might not, but it might. You just don't know. At least the chances will higher that, right, that the conversation will flow a little better. Yeah.
Thank you. This was really good.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Welcome.